As I said, my name is Cody. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat. I work on the JBoss web server project, which is mostly comprised of Tomcat. I've supported Tomcat, HTTPD, and JBoss EAP for about 3 years, commercial support at Red Hat. I moved around a little bit in between that time, and then after that three-year mark, I moved over into engineering. So I'm a software engineer now for the project that I once supported. So I've got a good bit of experience and understanding about how customers are using the things. So I've been a Tomcat committer since 2016, ASF member, and I'm also the code maintainer for the Tomcat and Tomcat native packages in Fedora. And I've started recently poking around with Docker some too, but not a ton yet. I'm doing a packaging talk tomorrow so I can expound on those points if anyone's interested. All right, here's my agenda. Talking about some debugging tools, do a little bit of general debugging, talk about high CPU and heap analysis, because those two things in particular are a lot of what I saw coming from customers. Not talking specifically about performance, so I won't cover any profilers, but I'll mention things like debugging with an IDE and JDB, and taking thread dumps and comparing those to CPU data to see what's doing what. Then how to get help with debugging Tomcat, basically tell you guys how to engage with the community, and then have questions from you. Hopefully I won't go through this too fast and leave a ton of time at the end for questions, but we'll see how we go. Okay, so helpful tools for debugging. We've got Tomcat log files, which is like an obvious, super simple, basic thing. IDEs, JDB. Talk about JMX a little bit, but I honestly don't use JMX a ton for debugging, so don't have a ton of experience there. I mean, I understand like how it works and all that stuff, but so we'll talk about that. For capturing thread dumps, I usually use JSTAC just because I like the output a little better than kill minus three. And then there are some thread dump analyzers. Samurai and TDA are ones that I've used a good bit, but generally I just use a text editor like Vim. And then for capturing or analyzing heap dumps, we've got Eclipse Memory Analyzer. And I'll go through some use cases for those and stuff. So, general debugging. I'm going to sit now. So if you guys can't hear me, just tell me to speak up. Please. So before I get started with debugging, I want to show you my Bash RC. Here we go. So I have scripts to start Tomcat. Start with security, start with debug.
Can you increase the font, maybe?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Is that better?
Excellent. Because of the open source, I think not much.
If I do full screen, it like chops off the top. So, yeah, we have a restart. And for debugging, there's a start debug, which drops in a JPDA suspend environment variable that causes Tomcat to suspend before it like starts doing anything. That's useful if you're debugging like the core of Tomcat. Generally, you're looking at request stuff, so you can let Tomcat start up and not worry about that part. And then JDB attach. This just attaches the port 8000, which is what I've configured Tomcat to start with, and then it uses a source pass so that I can use the list function in JDB to list like blocks of code. All right, so I just wanted to show you guys that before I get started in case I start zipping around and doing things. So Tomcat log files are the first place you would go when you see an exception. Has everybody seen the log files? Do I need to explain like what each of them are? Anybody want me to explain that? Otherwise, I'll skip it. So we can pop over to the logging config. A lot of times for debugging, I'll drop in like debug statements and recompile, or sometimes I'll do that. But here you can control the level of your logging. That's like super basic, so if I went through that too fast, just let me know. Here's the fun stuff. So IDEs, I'm sure everyone here is familiar with, but a couple examples are IntelliJ, Eclipse, and VS Code. I usually use IntelliJ for now. I don't use an IDE that much, but the debugging features of IDEs are pretty nice depending on what you're doing. They're a little bit of a pain to configure, but with the Tomcat project, we ship configuration files for Eclipse, I think, and IntelliJ specifically. Like, you can just drop those in, and they should work. So you run Tomcat in debug mode from your IDE, and you can just open up the source files and drop a breakpoint wherever you need it to be, and then make your request. So.
It's an end task, actually, I think.
What?
If I remember correctly, it's an end task to do the to get the.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds about right.
The ID
support.
Setup, yeah.
All right, so I'll show you. I already had IntelliJ open. And I just dropped a breakpoint here in the default servlets doGet request. And Tomcat wasn't running already. But I'll start it up in debug mode. Hopefully it's already compiled, because that was giving me a pain yesterday. It's building, compiling, starting. There we go. All right, so we started up, and now I'm going to make a request. Bad app is just an application that I wrote that has a bunch of JSPs that misbehave. So I'm going to make a request to this servlet, and as you can see, it's hanging here from curl, and that's because my breakpoint has been hit in the IDE. And you can examine the thread stack here, which is actually pretty neat because you can click through your thread stack and see the objects and their status. You can look at the request and response objects all the way down the chain or up the chain. Keep that in mind because I'll go over it again whenever we talk about heap analysis in a few minutes with Matt. But yeah, so that's not a very deep example, but just to give you kind of an idea of what you can do with an IDE debugger. So now I'm going to stop this and flip back to the presentation. Okay, so the Java debugger is basically just a CLI version of what we just went through with an IDE. I grabbed the start debug and JDB attached because I'm going to, well, I might run through an example of this unless I took screenshots before. But yeah. Oh, I did. So I started up Tomcat with a debug, like with debug mode, as I showed in the previous slide, and then just attached to it as a running process. Here, I added a breakpoint to the same line that I did in IntelliJ a second ago. And then at this point, in a separate window, I use curl to make a request and cause it to hang in the same place or to stop in the same place. So you can see that I hit the breakpoint here, and it tells you what line the breakpoint was on and shows you the line. And then I executed list, which shows you four or five lines before and after the breakpoint, so you can kind of see where it is in your code. So again, like this version, you don't have to worry about spinning up an IDE. You can kind of do it quickly on the command line if you know what you're looking for already. It's not very nice, though. It doesn't have any tab completion. The JDB tool doesn't. So you have to like copy and paste stuff in. I don't even think you can use the arrow keys to go left and right, and you have to backspace, so it's very limited use case. Okay. I think I'm going way too fast. So Java Management Extensions, or JMX, is a very powerful way to see everything about Tomcat's JVM in real time. You can access it locally by attaching to the process, or you can configure a JMX port that you can access remotely. Tomcat also has a JMX proxy servlet, which is configured by default under the manager application. So you can make HTTP requests to Tomcat with the NBeams that you're looking for and operations if you want to execute an operation and get that return through HTTP. And so I use JConsole generally. You can use JVisualVM or other like profile-y type tools to attach to a process, but this is basically what it looks like. And JConsole shows you in this really like 90s GUI like what's going on in your JVM. You can see your memory. You can perform GCs. I'm fairly certain you can also take a heap dump from here. I just don't recall how. You can look at the thread states for all the threads in the JVM. You have, see what the number of classes are to loaded, general VM summary, and then your mbeans, if you're looking for a specific mbean operation to execute. I can't think of any off the top of my head to play with.
Yep. So assuming Tomcat is frozen, will this be a good way to find out?
If Tomcat is frozen or hung?
Depends how it is frozen.
Yeah. If it's like an application thread, then maybe, but if...
So typically I have to kill it, and
so,
that's my solution.
So you might not have to kill it. If it's frozen in a way that just the threads are waiting on something, you can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point it might be... Under certain circumstances, it might be unresponsive in a way that you can't even... The JVM is all crushed, you know?
Yeah. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a second when we go through one of the CPU examples. Anybody else have any questions? Okay. So I'm going to whack JConsole. Oops. There's also some helpful frameworks for collecting data through JMX. Jalokia and Prometheus are ones that I mentioned because they were added to, well, they're commented out, but they're in our Docker file that Remy submitted or committed to the code base that uses the Tomcat Maven, like the embedded Tomcat, to create a fat jar that will run inside of a container. So that's not so much for debugging necessarily, but monitoring and potentially spotting problems like later on. Right, debugging CPU issues. Like I said before, this was a common thing whenever I worked in Red Hat support. Customers would come in and say like, oh, my Tomcat's consuming all my CPU, what's it doing? 9 times out of 10, it was the application, not Tomcat specifically. So generally application library or application or library code that's doing it. Excessive GC, usually due to an undersized heap, or concurrent access to non-thread safe objects. That one was surprisingly common. So I've talked about that app that I wrote, Bad App, a second ago, and the JSP, or I have several JSPs, but one of them loops for 1 minute and just sits and turns the CPU. I don't remember if I was going to mention this somewhere later, but the access log valve, which is enabled by default for Tomcat, you can use it and add a percent D or percent T to your pattern, and that'll add a time taken to your access log requests. So if your customers are complaining about like hanging requests or long-running requests, you can enable the time taken in your pattern, and then you'll be able to see like exactly which request is causing problems, and you'll be able to dig into it that way. You could even log like headers and query string and that sort of jazz in there too if you wanted.
Is it possible to log at the beginning of the request rather than at the end?
I don't think so. I think the access log valve does everything at the end of the request. So.
Because then if there's a problem and the request never ends,
Yeah, that's true. But you'll still be able to figure out what it's doing. As I progress this example, you'll see. So I used curl to initiate a request to the loop for 1 minute JSP. And then I used this high CPU JSTAC script. I used JPS to grab the PID here, so some fancy CLI stuff. But this loops 6 times with 20 seconds in between and just takes a thread dump and captures CPU data using top each time. This is what the script looks like. It's not super complicated. You can see the loop and the interval listed up here. Here's a top command. Dash capital H grabs the thread information, so it doesn't just have the one process. And then use JSTAC to take a thread dump. So after we run this JSTAC command, or the high CPU JSTAC script, then we can take a look at the output that that created. I did a grep here for PID because that's the header line for each one, and then grabbed the top three CPU consumers. So when I worked in support, the version of top never listed the thread name. So I think on RHEL it still doesn't list the thread name. It just says Java as the command name here. But on my Fedora 30 machine, whenever I ran this, it actually listed the thread name, which is quite useful. But here, so we see that over these four iterations, this HTTP NIO 8080 exec 1 is the complete name. Thread is using like 99.9% of the CPU. So you may be wondering why that is. So you can grab the PID. It'll be a decimal value. I did some more fancy CLS stuff here to convert that to a hex and grab that and the 10 subsequent lines from the thread dump. So you can see here that the thread is currently running and it's sitting on index.jsp because I took the screenshot before I renamed the application. So that should say loop for 1 minute.jsp. But you can see exactly which line it's stuck on, 118. And then for the purposes of grabbing a screenshot, I used awk to grab like a block from that now named loop for 1 minute.jsp. This is the compiled, like the servlet version of the JSP. So I grabbed it from the work directory. And you can see the line 118 is a while loop that just sits and spins for 1 minute. So nothing special. That's a very simplified version of what you could do with this method of debugging. But for the purposes of a presentation, I thought it was pretty simple and straightforward to understand. And also, a bonus. Sometimes, as I mentioned before, GC threads and GC churn is the cause of your CPU issues. So following the same method and grabbing the same output, you can see here that GC usage is only around 20%, so nothing special, but that's because my application wasn't really like churning too hard. But you can see in my current version of top output, that is the G1 refine and GC threads, and the RHEL or Ubuntu, I think, versions of the top output, it doesn't tell you the thread name. It just says Java. So you can grab the PID and convert it to a hexadecimal value and then grep it from the thread dump and see that it's the GC threads that are causing your churn. Also, you might notice that GC threads don't have a thread stack. None of the like JVM threads do. So. All right, a quick look with Samurai and TDA. So these are two thread dump analysis tools. So these can be useful. TDA is not super exciting. It always starts in this weird collapse version for me. But so it just gives you like a visual representation of the threads, so it's not looking at a straight text file, which can be kind of hard to read. So you can kind of breeze through here and see each one of these dumps. So there's only 4 thread dumps that were captured in this file. So you can see the threads here. You can see it lists like or categorizes threads waiting for monitors. Thread sleeping for sleeping on monitors, locking. You can see the monitors themselves, block threads, so on and so forth. So, not super exciting, but if you wanted to quickly and easily like look at a specific thread, then this might be easier for you to do if you're a GUI person than looking at the thread dump output itself. Or if you want to, for some reason, you can look at the like entire log file just outright. All right, so Samurai actually has a different visualization. This is quite useful for looking at thread states over time. In my example, all the threads are doing the same thing, so you just have this little arrow that said, I'm doing the same thing as the previous dump. But sometimes when that state changes or when you have blocking, you have different colorized blocks here. Or if you have a deadlock, like it's very obvious to open this up and you'll see a little skull and the appropriate place. Something else that's kind of neat is that you can look at the sequence here. So when I click on this one thread, it shows me the thread dump, or it shows me the thread in each one of the dumps. So you have the first dump at the top, then second, and so on down to the bottom. So that's a little different than looking at it visually just in a blob. But this also has a log file too. You can click over if you wanted to look at it for whatever reason. Anybody have any questions about Samurai or TDA? Told you, not very flashy.
How is it that you connect it to the logs? Or is it you just read the logs?
Yeah, I just open the log file. So here. So here I have the CPU output captured and then a thread dump next to it. So I just opened it up and grabbed the log file.
So would that be an example like grabbing Catalina.out? And that's pretty much what you're looking at?
Yeah, so if you have if you use kill minus 3 instead of JSTAC to dump thread stacks into your Catalina output, then yeah, you could open Catalina out with TDA or Samurai and it would like parse out the logs to you.
Okay, and if you use JSTAC, you're just appending to the same file over and over again?
Yeah,
like every 20 seconds or whatever you said?
Okay. Yeah, so the first time it creates a new file and then the subsequent like iterations just append. So yeah, if you look at the... So yeah, you can see like each one of the iterations is just appended to the file, and then the thread dump analyzer, they are smart enough to like parse them out. All right, anybody have any questions about CPU issues or thread analysis? I'm not going very deep here, so if you guys have questions, feel free.
I have a question that's not, it's more related to what you showed earlier. JSP debugging, line debugging in JSP.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that too? Can you do it with IntelliJ IDEA?
That's a good question.
And if you have it for later, then I can wait.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never tried to debug a JSP directly.
Much more
but yeah, that would be something.
I know it's possible, I just never tried.
You can do it with NetBeans.
You can?
Yeah, if you can do it with NetBeans, I assume you can do it with IntelliJ.
No, there is actually a specification. It's called JSR45, and I know that Tomcat implements it.
Hmm.
But I've never set it up in an IDE. Something that interests me or two.
Oh, man. So I'm using the community edition of IntelliJ, and apparently it doesn't support JSP files. So I won't be able to try that for you here live today.
Just so you know that you're entitled to a...
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just haven't got one. I don't use the IDE that much.
I don't either. I use the community edition because it's good enough. It's great.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to move on to debugging memory issues. Ugh, way too fast. So one of the main problems when it comes to Java memory problem or issues is out-of-memory errors. There are several different types of out-of-memory errors. Today I'm going to talk about heap space OOMs because honestly they're just like most common and sort of the easiest ones to diagnose. But there's also permgen or metaspace if you're using Java 8 and later. Unable to create a new native thread, which isn't really a memory problem. It's about your thread limitations on your OS. GC overhead limit exceeded, out of swap space or native memory exhausted. Those are kind of self-explanatory. So now we'll take a look at analyzing a heap dump that was generated by a heap space team. So in order to capture a heap dump, you have to add a JVM argument. It's plus heap dump on out of memory error, and then restart Tomcat. And then the next time Tomcat encounters an out of memory error, it'll create a heap dump for you. You can specify the file location and file name and all that stuff in subsequent JVM arguments too. I just didn't list them here. All right, so my bad app can also create an out of memory error. So oom.jsp adds 1 billion integers to an array list. So when I did this the first time, I did not limit my heap space. So I got 25% of 16 gigs, which was quite a huge heap dump. So I recreated this or re-executed with a 500 megabyte heap so that I could actually like analyze it now and not wait until it took forever to parse. So to analyze a heap dump, you just open your heap dump file with mat. Like I said, the heap size for this example is 500 megabytes, but the heap dump ends up being around 800 megs. So you have to make sure that you have at least, I think, 2 gigs of memory to parse this thing whenever you're trying to open it. All right, let's see. Oh, I'll put some screenshots. Here, let's see. So I've already parsed this. I can remember my commands. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I forget. So when you open this, it gives you a wizard to get started. Leak suspects report is really good to run whenever you do your analysis, because Matt will try and figure out like what it thinks is a leak, and point you to those objects like immediately. Yeah, there we go. So as we talked about in the previous slide, this JSP just added a whole bunch of integers to an array list, so it's very obvious what the problem was here. It won't always be that obvious, and also you may just have an undersized heap, so there may not even be a problem other than your heap is too small. So it's not always as straightforward as this example will be too. But so the problem suspect here that it tells you is the task thread, gives you the thread name here, tells you that it has 415 million or 98% of the heap space objects in an object array. You can click details down here, and it'll give you even more information about it. You can see that it's actually an array list. You can see the contents of the array list here. There's an object array with, I think, 20 million integers in it before it died. let's see if there's any more cool information here. You have the thread stack that encountered the OOM. Again, in this case, yeah, sure, I was adding a whole bunch of stuff to this one huge array list, but that won't always be the case. Sometimes your application that hit, the thread that hit the out-of-memory error has nothing to do with what the reason is for the out-of-memory error. So next time I give this talk, I think I'll give a more interesting heap analysis scenario. So outside of your leak suspects, you can also look at the a histogram, which shows you number of objects and also your retained heap size here. It lists in the order of your heap size or space consumed. So you can see that there's 20,767,897 integers that are in your in this particular heap dump. That's not super exciting. But then if you look at the dominator tree, which shows you the largest objects, you'll see that the task thread here is the largest object that you have in the heap, and your object array that contains these 20 million integers is here. Something interesting that I suggested you hold on to from the IDE demo was a thread stack. So you can use Matt to also analyze the thread overview. So from here we can see the offending thread is this exec thread, and then you can kind of click back through and look at objects that are inside in each one of these frames. So you can see the array list that's on the servlet and the element data, which I probably shouldn't have clicked. Oh no.
Is it going to crash now?
Maybe. Yeah, it's churning. Whoops.
I thought it limits to like 100 objects at a time or something.
Well, apparently I'm like right at the top of the heap size for Matt, so it's probably doing some GC. So you can see down in the bottom corner over here, I think I gave it like 4 gigs of heap space, and it's like right at the top. So when I click that, I might have sent it over the edge.
Said it's probably doing some DC. What's DC?
Oh, DC, garbage collection.
Oh, garbage.
Yeah.
So. I might want to just kill that guy.
Yeah, I can analyze the heap dump that I would have generated had I turned on the heap dump collection. But so yeah, this is just kind of going through what I just said. Like I said, I took a bunch of screenshots just in case my demo didn't work, but I think it worked out pretty well. Oh yeah, another thing that you can do looking at a heap dump through the thread overview is you can actually you can trace back to the request that initiated the object creation. So if you look down the stack to the HTTP servlet service, you can actually find the Coyote request and see its buffer contents. So it was this thread stack was caused by a GET request to badapp/oom.jsp and lots of other information. You can see the connector it came in on and all sorts of other things here.
I don't want to repeat that again. Like, you can literally find the exact request and all of its attributes.
Yes. Found the request, all of its attributes, the connector it came in on.
That is the source IP.
Yeah, there, anything you want to see.
Where did you see that? This is the...
So this is looking, so the thread stack that I clicked on and crashed Matt with a second ago, you can actually dig back through that down to the HTTP servlet service, and you can find the Coyote request that initiated the thread stack, and you can see what the request is that calls the thread stack.
Very cool. I remember trying to find it and I didn't see the information there.
Yeah, it's pretty deep down in here. I mean, you can see I clicked on the request facade, and then the connector request, then the Coyote request, then the input buffer, then the request again, and then the URI MV, which is the message bytes.
So if Erica crashes your server, you can see what request there is.
Yep. Yeah, even if, like you said earlier, the access log only prints out at the end of the request. So if they initiated this, it was sitting there turning, crashed, obviously you wouldn't write it out. But you could still find the request that initiated the problem by digging through the heap. So I hope, as an aside, I hope that everybody understands that providing a heap dump to people gives them a snapshot of your JVM memory. So yeah, only provide heap dumps to trusted sources. Don't like go and upload it to a random place and ask the Tomcat community to help you debug it, because you may have social security numbers in there, you may have credit card numbers in there, you may have personally identifiable data. So yeah, passport data. I've seen all sorts of stuff in heap analysis over the years of doing commercial support. All right. So as I stated before, things aren't always this easy. This is a very simplified version of these scenarios that we walked through. So just understand that just because a particular request ended up causing a boom like this, it may not have been the actual cause of the problem. Just a symptom. Right. I went through this like way too fast. Yeah. So I'm almost at the end here. So does anybody have any questions before I tell you how to get help, or you read how to get help? Nope. No questions. Okay, so if you need help with debugging Tomcat, you can always ask the community. You would do that through the Tomcat users list, which when you get the slides, there's all these yellow things are hyperlinks, so you can click on them. So you could either reach out via email to the Tomcat users list, or I usually hang out on Freenode and pound Tomcat. It's pretty low volume, though. I probably get like maybe one question every few days, maybe less than that lately. But whenever you get ready to ask a question, prepare to provide your Java version, Tomcat version, OS details, and then any information about the potential cause of the event. So these questions here are specific to like CPU issues. So does a particular event or resource trigger the problem? How long does the problem last? Did it start recently? A lot of times people like get system updates and don't know that they got a system update, and that might be causing the problem. So those are very important questions to answer.
I would just add that the latest is not a valid version.
What? Oh, yeah, right.
Latest.
Yeah. Yeah, provide your actual like full version of permission, not just 8.5 or latest. Oh, like
yeah.
Yeah. So, if there are no questions, that's my last slide. I'm trying to think of what I can do now. We could poke around in Matt some more. So ignore this box. This is like a bug with Eclipse Matt.
Can you go dig down that request?
Yep.
Cause the thing and show everything.
But of course.
So you're looking specifically for the connector, or what are you looking for?
Hmm? Just to open in a live view the request.
No, I'm asking Koti, what is it? How is defining that information? What is it?
Ah, what yeah, yeah. How are you selecting?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I just know that the HTTP servlet service has a reference to the request. I guess the JSP base might also, but I just kind of picked like the topmost thread object, and then go picking through these request objects.
So all the blue icons that are shown there, those are entries in the stack trace, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
Then once you choose one, then you're seeing the locals at that stack?
Yes, at that point in the stack.
Mm-hmm. You see a trace of the frame.
Yep. Let's see. And I'm sure there's a different way. There's a whole bunch of different ways to find different requests. But yeah, you just kind of click down, poke around, see what might be interesting. But this is how I found the specific request object. You can see in the byte buffer or byte chunk that this is the object. But there's also, you can see the connector object that it came in on and all of its like local variables. You can look at information about the session. You can grab the session ID if you wanted.
So the class is connector request? Because I think you can filter by class also.
Oh, yeah. So you can search using OQL, but I haven't done that in a while, so I don't remember. I think it's like...
No, it has a wildcard option where you can just put the partial name with the asterisk.
Okay. Select star from... may or may not work. Huh. Oh, yeah. So there's only one request in this heap. So pretty easy to find using OQL. Yeah, the query language in here is actually quite powerful. And that is how I would, after I like poked around and found what I was looking for, I would actually write an OQL query to drop in the customer case and say, like, this is exactly where I found your problem, and then give them the output from that so that I had a reference for myself later instead of like writing down, I clicked on this and this and this. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff about the request here that you can look at. I mean, like Chris said earlier, I don't have any headers in this request, I don't think. So.
Well, nothing fun.
Yeah, nothing exciting.
But the headers and the requests, the request line are really the things you're looking for primarily. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I mean, you could like explore this for quite a while, especially if you have a limited knowledge of how Tomcat Core works. You could kind of click around and learn how these things are related, sort of at real time. All right, that was 40 minutes. There aren't any other questions. I'm happy to stand around and talk or keep poking around in Matt. But
so on Freenode, you're actually there and monitor it? Because I never...
Yeah, there's at least one other or two other. Jason B. sometimes in there. And I forgot the other guy's name who is like sitting around. He answers more questions than I do nowadays. But we get a lot of people that come in, like they join the HTTPD channel and try and like ask them about how to proxy to Tomcat, and they always like kick them over to us.
There's also a Tomcat Slack channel, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
which I was on for one day exactly.
Yeah, I think that's relatively new, and I don't really join that very much. I was doing it whenever I used Slack for work, but now I don't, so. Okay.
Yeah, the best place to go for help is the users list.
Yeah.
And the best feature of the users list is the archive.
Right.
And Christopher Schultz.
Just ask him directly.
Oh, from experience.
Okay, well, I think I'm done. I'll be here for another while.